Good morning. How's everybody doing? Morris said, Dustin Welch is going to be starting tomorrow. And his first sermon will be next week. Man, I am so excited. It means I don't have to do this anymore. I do want to just say how much it means to me that I've received so much encouragement from you guys while I've been preaching, especially from the babies who, man, they just love me. They cheer so loud during the sermon, just awesome. So, but I do want to say thank you for that. Full disclosure here, my wife Heather and I, we sometimes, I wouldn't say argue, but we debate the meaning and pronunciation of words and phrases sometimes. And I will say that I care about this so much because I really like things to be true and right, and I want to know what the real meaning is. Heather would tell you that I just like to be right. But because we do this, I do a lot of, I look into the etymology and the origin of words and phrases. And I've come across something that I think is interesting. You might think, like my wife, that it's boring and I just want to be right. But there's some words that have changed meaning over time. And it's pretty neat to see some of these words. Nice. What do you think of when you hear nice? You can answer. Kind, yeah. This is sweet. You know, those types of things. If you would have said nice, called somebody nice, or used nice to describe somebody about 400 years ago, 400 or 500 years ago, it would be not knowing or foolish. All right? So over those years, that word has changed meanings completely, basically. Here's another one. Awful. You're awful. That's awful. Oh! Right? It's bad. It's terrible. This one shouldn't be hard to figure out what the original meaning was. Is original meaning was inspiring wonder, to be full of awe. Okay? How in the world did that change? Right? How did it go from inspiring wonder to this is a terrible thing? But somehow it changed meanings. All right? Sad. This is a simple word. You would think sad has always meant sad. Right? But no. Original meaning was satisfied or content. Yeah. It's weird. Okay, here's another. Bully, right? This is big in schools now. You don't bully others, right? Okay, so about 300 years ago, bully actually meant a good fellow or a darling. All right? So you would want to be a bully then, but you don't want to be a bully now. Radical. Right? When I was growing up in the 80s, this is when we started using radical, dude. Right? But radical is something out there, right? It's an extreme, right? Well, that's not the original meaning of the word. Radical is actually basic and fundamental. So somehow it went from just being something simple to something completely extreme. Garble. You guys know this word? Garble. I do this a lot when I preach. I garble my words and get things mixed up. All right, so it means to mix up and everything. Actually, garble meant to sort out. That's what it started out. Weird, okay? Success. Everybody wants success, right? Success is good. You win at something, right? You accomplish that goal you wanted to. Original meaning of success just meant any outcome, good or bad, right? So this is actually one we could use today, right? This was a success. You can feel good about it. Whether or not it was good or bad, I can say it was a success. Villain. Right? Villain is a bad person, right? Okay, I don't know how this one changed, but this is the original meaning of villain. A farm laborer. I don't know if the animals revolted, and that's where villain gets its original meaning. I don't know. What about... Well, okay, another one. Pretty. This is husbands, call your wives pretty, right? This is good to do. Guys, if you're trying to woo a girl, you want to make sure she knows she's pretty, right? Unless you're using the original meaning, which is tricky, sly, or cunning. Which now you can use this word and mean something completely different, right? But that's the original meaning of this word. What about this one? Church. What do we mean now when we say church, right? We refer to what? A building? Place you come to do an activity? Right? You guys remember the old, this is a church, this is a steeple, open the doors, there's all the people, right? Well, what's the original meaning of church? Well, biblically speaking, the church is people, right? The church is people. So if we're going to use the Bible to do this thing, it would be, this is a building, here's a steeple, open the doors, there's a church. Okay, not as catchy at all, but that's actually what it is. The church is people, but not just any people, all right? The church is special people. The church is special people for whom the Spirit is formed together into a community whose purpose is living in fellowship with God, with each other, and with creation. And so that people point to the world the direction in which God is taking all of history. In short, the church is a pioneer community. It's made up of people who are seeking to point towards the future that God has in store for creation. And these people desire to live out in the present the glorious community for which God has created us all. When you hear the word pioneer, what do you think of? Think of Little House on the Prairie, maybe. You think of the people who are the first inhabitants of this country that really started out and did some amazing things. You think of trailblazers, people like Wernher von Braun, or people like Steve Jobs, or are people that did something that nobody had really thought of before, right? Trailblazers. If you were a child of the 80s, like me, when you heard the word pioneer, when you hear the word pioneer, this is what you think of. The Oregon Trail. Does anybody remember this game? Okay, anybody play this? Okay, wow, I thought more people might remember it. But this was a game that we get to play at school when we went to computers on our Apple IIs. And Oregon Trail was this, man, it was this great game where you got to be the leader of a party that was traveling the Oregon Trail. You're traveling 2,000 miles to, of course, Oregon. All right? And this all happens in the 1800s. And so there's lots of things that would happen. You had to deal with stuff like a fire in your wagon, and you would lose an axle and 5 pounds of food. All right? And so the whole point was you had to keep your group together and alive. You had to make it through all these trials. You had to buy food. You had to forage for food. And you tried to avoid things like waffles and measles. I don't know who waffles is, but this was bad, right? And of course, the thing that you really wanted to avoid was this screen. You have died of dysentery. Right? And of course, we thought that was hilarious because we found out what dysentery was. Like, that's kind of what I think of. But this game was great because it taught you about being a pioneer. It taught you that you had to keep your group together. It taught you that you had a goal, a future goal that you were striving towards. And so when we talk about the church being a pioneering community, those are the type of things that we're talking about. So the church as a pioneer community is a relational people. It's a future-oriented people. And it's a fellowshipping people. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I am so, just so you're not confused, this is not an accepted sin sermon. So, okay? This is about the church being a pioneer community. It's not a settling community, by the way. All right? I know a lot of you, when you hear pioneers right now, you think of the settlers commercial, the DirecTV. That's not what the church is. The church is a trailblazing, going out, future-oriented people. We're not a club. We're not just members of some giant organization. We're a special people in a relationship with God, through Jesus Christ. A called out people. And we're in relationship with a God who saves us through Christ Jesus, and a people in relationship with each other who share in God's salvation. As a relational people, well, let's look at the word church, if we're going to look at it. And the word that church comes from is ekklesia. All right? And a lot of you guys know this stuff, but this word in Greek means called out, or a people called out of. And what it referred to was the assembly. All right? This wasn't a new thing in the first century, this ekklesia. All right? There were assemblies everywhere. But when the first group of believers, when those churches formed, they called themselves the ekklesia. And it was this idea, this called out identity, that really meant a lot to them, because that idea of being called out means several things, right? There are people that are called out of the world. There are people that are called out by God through Jesus Christ. There are people that are asked to live lives that are completely different than the way they had been living. And so a called out people finds identity in being called out. We're called out by the gospel for the purpose of belonging to God through Jesus. And a called out people acts differently than the world does. 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says that we're a peculiar people. Right? We're different. When people look at it, they see something that's completely different than the rest of the world and what they're used to. So we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. And I want us to note some things in this passage. Let's read this. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and a great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This was the first century church. These were the called out ones, right? And they lived lives that were radical, a new meaning of radical, not basic, right? But they lived lives that were strange and peculiar. And people could tell that they were called out by God. People could tell that they were relational people. And especially look at this first verse. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. How strange is that? How strange is that? That people are of one heart, that they share everything. They don't say, I own this stuff. All right, talk about a relational people that really get that. That being the church means we've got to stay together. Church happens whenever the Holy Spirit brings believers together to be a people in relationship. It exists whenever believers join together with the purpose of walking with one another as God's people under Christ's authority by the power of the Spirit. And it's not just local. You read in Scripture, especially the letters that Paul writes, he's talking to local congregations, right? And certainly that is the church, those local congregations. But we have to remember, too, that we're part of a universal church. Like all those that have been called out all over the world throughout all time are members of that same church. We're a part of that story. And the future-oriented people. The church has a future-oriented people. Church is not an end in of itself. Right? It exists for a larger purpose. Our task is directed towards a goal which will come in its fullness when Christ comes again. We're looking for the kingdom of God. Right? That's what our goal is the kingdom of God. And in Mark 1:15, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. Now, let me just tell you, there's a lot of debate about what exactly that means. All right? And so we've got this debate, is the kingdom, is it past, is it present, or is it future? The answer is yes. Okay? It's all of those things. All right? And so when Jesus says the kingdom of God is near, he's not saying it's about to come. He's not saying it's right here now. He's not saying it came in the past. He's saying it's near, right? It's here. It's all around us, right? And so the kingdom of God, as it exists in the past, was that divine reign that came with Jesus, right? Jesus coming to this earth, Jesus dying for our sins, Jesus being resurrected and ascending, that began this divine reign of the kingdom of God. And we're living in that now, okay? As the church, we represent the kingdom of God to the people around us. But it's not fully here. Right? It's not fully here. Yes, God reigns. But we have not experienced yet the fullness of that reign, the fullness of that kingdom. And so everything that we do is pointing towards the fullness of His kingdom. Every decision we make as a church needs to be focused on the future, on how perfect the kingdom will be one day. And so we act in that way now. And we do things with our mind in the future that, hey, this is what the kingdom is supposed to be. Right? This is what the kingdom will be one day. And I'm going to do those things now. The church is a product of the gospel. It derives its purpose from God's activity in the world. We're called into community so that we will proclaim the gospel and live in the world as a sign of God's coming reign. And so once again, we live differently than the world. Because in the world, we live for the present. And more, really. But in the kingdom, in the church, we live for the future. Right? Not saying that we sit around and wait and go, well, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I'm not going to do anything until He comes. Right? And keep myself safe. Right? No, we have to still live in this world and be a part of this world. But we live with an eye on the future saying, hey, this is what God has planned for the world, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of it now. So I'm going to make sure that everything I do reflects that future glory. And so as a church, that's what we do also. And then we're fellowshipping people. Did I miss one? Okay. Fellowshipping people. Let's look at back at... Sorry. Here we go. I'm getting garbled. Back to the future. Back to the future people. Look at this verse from Acts 4. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. This is how we're rooted, okay? We're rooted in that thing which brings us all together, right? And that is the gospel. That is Jesus. And so you see the apostles were giving testimony of the resurrection, letting people know the kingdom is near, right? All the time looking forward. And God was blessing that, and grace was coming upon them all. All right, here we go, fellowshipping people. Let's go back to Acts 4, and we'll look at 34 and 35. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought them the proceeds of what was sold. And it laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Once again, this is crazy, right? The church is doing things and taking care of each other and not worrying about personal gain, right? just wanting everybody to be taken care of. So the church is a fellowshipping people. It's a community. Right? It's not, we're not just individuals who happen to meet here in a building. We're called to fellowship. We're called to be a community. We're called to take part in each other's lives. Right? And take care of each other. To love each other. Support each other. The New Testament authors, they refer to the church as a nation, a body, a temple. Okay? All these things are things that indicate a bond that we don't get normally. And it's one that is the local expression of the universal church. This community is with each other, but it's also with God. Okay? There's a vertical and there's a horizontal. Right? And so, the vertical is our community with the Creator, with Jesus. Once again, the thing that brings us together is Jesus, right? That's the reason we're here. Okay? And because of that bond, because of that community, then we can also be in community with each other. And we can love each other. When we understand that love that Jesus has for us, then we love each other. But there's something even deeper here. And it's found in just creation itself. If you remember back to Genesis, it says that God created man in his own image. Right? What does that mean? Well, in the context of community, what it means is God is community. That's who he is. God is Father, God is Son, God is Spirit. Those three exist in community. And it's a perfect community. It's a perfect community of love. And so when God created us in his own image, he created us for community. He didn't create us to be individuals, just like he isn't individual. He created us to be a part of that community. And when we become a part of the church, we enter into that loving community of a triune God. That's pretty amazing when you think about it, right? That we so often, when we focus on salvation, we focus on the individual salvation. And yes, God saves people individually, but he saves them for community. He doesn't save them to stay on their own. He saves them for community. We're one people because we're brought together through the Spirit to share in the love between the Father and Son. And we are a true community of love. As a church, we're called to reflect in the present the eternal dynamic of the triune God. And this is who we are. This is our identity. We are a pioneer community of God. And our identity forms a foundation of our ministry to the world. When we understand that we as a church are pioneers here in Manchester, Tennessee, then that shapes what we do in our community. It shapes how we reach people. It shapes how we interact with the community itself. Right? And so that's my challenge, is for us to realize we're pioneers. Right? We're not settlers. We don't just sit. Right? We're trailblazers. God calls us into this relational community that's future-oriented, and we're a part of that today. So, now's the time where I'll ask you if you have any needs at all, if you need ministering in any way, if you need support, prayers, if you want to enter into this relational, fellowshipping, future-oriented community through Jesus Christ, then let's do that this morning. Whatever your need is, please come as we stand and sing.
Savior, bleed and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned up on the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.